You're listening to a Countout Podcast. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Hit the Books, the Money in the Bank pay-per-view spectacular. That's right, it is now Money in the Bank time, so everybody pull out your checking books and start cashing those checks in favor of briefcases. I am Ryan Knightsy, the head writer of Monday Night Raw. With me, as always, is the head writer of Friday Night SmackDown, the Mr. Bank himself, Mikey Manfredi. Mikey, how are you doing?
Hi, yes, it is I, Mr. Bank. I own the bank. I'm here to distribute the briefcases. I, Mr. Bank.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
First name, money. Middle name, in. First name, money. Middle name, in the.
Yes, of course. Naturally, you gotta have these things if you're gonna do it. We gotta play the song too, Mikey. This is some goddamn commercial. Get out of here, Space Jam. Get out of here, LeBron.
Money.
Yeah, baby, it's Money in the Bank time.
Oh yeah.
Everybody, open up your purse. Open up your grandmother's purse and steal her cash.
It's the heist of the century.
It's the heist of the century. Steal your grandmother's cash for video games. What a terrible song for a wrestling pay-per-view.
But Ryan, it's Money in the Bank. How else is anyone going to know unless the song says money, 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 money over and over again?
These are true facts. Welcome everybody again to Money in the Bank. If you this is the first time listening to the show, then you are in for a treat. Every single week, we book our own versions of both Raw and SmackDown. We've built up our brands, built up our stars, built up our champions up to this very moment, the pay-per-view that is Money in the Bank. We got, of course, the two Money in the Bank matches, along with several championships on the line. I think all of SmackDown's titles are on the line, Mikey. I only have two matches, and only my U.S. titles on the line. So Roman Reigns gets off scot-free.
All SmackDowns are up for grabs.
But yes, an exciting time to do some pay-per-views. I'm always loving the pay-per-views. I'm always loving the pay-per-views. I'm always loving Money in the Bank. I think it's a fun pay-per-view. It's a ladder match, and WWE has been using a lot of ladder matches recently. But you know, having a couple people in there, there's always some fun stuff happening in the Money in the Bank ladder match, Mikey.
I agree. Always a good time. Ryan, do you have any favorite Money in the Bank moments?
What calls to mind? There are a couple of the old ones I can think of. Your Shelton Benjamins doing a quick dive off a ladder through into a crowd, basically, of people. I think that was at WrestleMania 23, I want to say. Maybe 24. I distinctly, like, I'm trying to think of the moments that stick in my head. I remember the
Jeff Hardy putting Edge through a ladder. Was that Money in the Bank?
Yes, it was.
It was a Money in the Bank match. It was one of them when it was still at WrestleMania.
That was definitely WrestleMania 23. I'll say that's WrestleMania 23.
That was cool.
That was cool.
And that was like the first time they did like a through the ladder spot, right? I think that was the first. That was the first time I remember a through the ladder spot.
I think they've done it previously in those like TLC matches with Edge and Christian and the Hardys and Dudleys and whatnot. But it was definitely like in our generation the first time I distinctly remember that spot. And also that spot got played over and over again on the Don't Try This at Home. That's why that burns into my memory. Because it was also like that spot, and then like either I think Matt Hardy was in the match, and then he like came down to check on his brother. I remember that part. CM Punk winning it twice, that's always a good moment for me. I think it was like Andrade and Finn Balor recently did like a cool move that was onto a ladder. I don't know. For me, it's like there's nothing truly memorable about it, especially not any really anymore. because there's a shit ton of ladder matches, so I see a shit ton of ladder spots every year. But like, there's always something that I look at. I'm like, oh, that was a cool move. That was something that that was fun that happened. And then, you know, the champions. I don't really remember any of the Money in the Bank briefcase holders of late, but you know, they're, you know, back in the day of like CM Punk's cash in, Ziggler's cash in. Like, I remember all these sort of.
I was about to ask, do you have a favorite cash in? And like, definitely, like you said, the ones that come to mind are like CM Punk, Ziggler, Rollins, right?
CM Punk cashing in to win the World Heavyweight Championship. I believe it was on Edge. I believe it was post WrestleMania. Edge was celebrating. Batista came out and beat him up, and then CM Punk cashed in. I believe that was the moment, and that was just a great moment. I remember watching that, and I was like, "This is awesome! This is what's great. That guy's a star. That guy will always be a star and never lose his love of wrestling." guy's great. You know, I remember that. Like, that's the thing about like the Money in the Bank cash-ins is like the thing about it is that you have to build it up and make it like a huge surprise. And I always loved it. They did it similarly with they did a kind of a double swerve where I want to say Charlotte Flair was the champion. The Iconics made their debut, and then the Money in the Bank briefcase holder, who I believe was Carmella, ran out and cashed in her briefcase, and that was like that was the thing that like defined and made Carmella the star. Was after the whole James Ellsworth double Money in the Bank women's match, which was nonsense. Iconics make their debut. Carmella rushes out, does like the same sort of thing, except we got a debut out of it as well, and then cashes in. And I was like, that was a great moment. That was a moment, and it's those sort of moments that I in my head become the sort of defining moments for those characters that, you know, you're like, okay, that's Carmella's made, CM Punk is made. You got to do that. You got to build it up. You can't have like a crappy thing where they just walk out and they're like, ha ha ha, I'll do it. Yeah, build the excitement.
My least favorite one was John Cena's, definitely, where he was like, I'm giving you a week in advance to prepare. And it's like, oh, what fun is, where's the fun?
I think he
where's
lost.
The fun in that? He did. God because damn. I think that was when the Rock came back, right?
I believe
so. And set up Cena Rock too.
I believe so. Let me see. Let me see how many people. I'm gonna see. That'd be a fun game. Is name who has won the Money in the Bank briefcase?
Because he cashed it in on CM Punk, who was like the WWE champion for like 300 something days at that point. And then The Rock came out, destroyed Cena. Punk won, and then Punk destroyed The Rock.
When the moment the Money in the Bank briefcase becomes a pay-per-view, I start losing track of who is what.
Yeah.
Like
I mean, Otis won last year.
Like, I remember The Miz, obviously, but I don't remember Kane. I remember Daniel Bryan holding it. I don't remember Alberto Del Rio.
I
think I vaguely remember that. John Cena you mentioned, Dolph Ziggler we mentioned, Randy Orton I don't. Damian Sandow, no. Rollins.
What about Otis?
Rollins, I was out of wrestling. Sheamus, I was out of wrestling. Dean Ambrose, I was out of wrestling. Carmella, I remember, obviously. Baron Corbin, what a failure. That guy should have had it.
Wasn't he the first one to lose the match?
No, John Cena was.
Right. All right.
I think it's John Cena, and then Damian Sandow was next, and then Baron Corbin. We're all losers. Bliss and Braun Strowman. Bayley and Brock Lesnar. Asuka and Otis.
Oh, Brock Lesnar's was so fucking annoying. It was so dumb.
Yeah.
He wasn't even in the match. He just showed up and was like, all right, I'm taking this. Bye. And it was like, oh.
Mustafa Ali standing there like, what?
Instead of just unhooking it while he's walking to the ring.
Everyone's screaming at Ali, take it, take it.
And all he had to do was, while Brock Lesnar was doing his stupid, like, bouncing, he had to, like, unhook it and be like, I got it.
Yeah, no, I was not happy about that. But yeah, I don't really necessarily remember every single like person with it, but like there's the moment. I think the Money in the Bank briefcase, no matter what, always serves baby faces way more than it serves heels.
Really? I think it's a very good heel. I think it's a very good thing for heels to have.
Maybe I'll mend it, because I think I'm thinking about it now. I think you're right. I think having the briefcase is a great heel move, but the cash in is a great babyface moment. Okay. Does that make sense? Like, yes. Like the Miz holding the briefcase was great because it was like, oh, I'm going to take your title at any point. It was like a thing he had over the babyface, over the champion. It was like, I can take it whenever I want. And that was like the building the fear. But like the moments of like Carmella's cash in, I guess Carmella's a heel, but she got huge pop. CM Punk's cash in, like these are moments.
Ziggler's cash in, that was when he was a heel and his pop was insane.
Yeah, like when the people are behind you. And when you do that, you should turn them. I was like, come on, guys, let's turn them. Mm-hmm. But like that's, to me, those are all the moments. The cash in when you have the crowd behind you, that's a babyface moment or a babyface turn.
I can't forget to mention Rollins' cash in to make it the triple threat of Roman Reigns and Lesnar. That was always memorable. They always play that clip when Money in the Bank comes around, right? Because it's like the heist of the century. Like that image of Rollins just sprinting down the ramp with the briefcase in his hand is like great.
Yeah, a money moment. A money moment, without a doubt.
Everyone knows it's coming. The whole crowd is like, his music hits and the crowd explodes because they know it's about to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know, like, and that, because it creates a perfect babyface moment. Even though, obviously, you know, like I said, it's best for heels to use it. I mean, Edge was the first guy to ever have it.
And he cashed it on Undertaker, right? I believe.
I think that was the second one.
I'm pretty sure he cashed in at some point on Undertaker, I thought.
I think that was the second one, the second time he had it in 07. Because Mr. Kennedy won it at WrestleMania, and then Edge beat Mr. Kennedy for it in 7 seconds.
Right.
Jesus Christ, Mr. Kennedy. The burial. All right. Let us get into this actual pay-per-view. Why not, Nike? Let's stop going down Money in the Bank memory lane, and let's start making our own memories by talking about what we have in store for our version of Money in the Bank. Mikey, can you tell the kind folks at home what our card's looking like today?
Our card today is looking like, on the pre-show, kicking us off, we got Authentic taking on the Viking Raiders for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Match number one of the official first match of Money in the Bank. We got the men's Money in the Bank, which is Tommaso Ciampa, Dominic Mysterio, Ricochet, King Corbin, Keith Lee, Finn Balor, Angel Garza, and Sheamus. Then we got the Intercontinental Championship match between Dave Mastiff and Roderick Strong. After that, Piper Niven takes on Sonya Deville with the SmackDown Women's Championship on the line. Then we got Chad Gable versus Dolph Ziggler for the United States Championship in a 20-minute Ironman match. LLC takes on Ali and Alexander. Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens go at it for the Universal title. And then we have the Women's Money in the Bank, which is Candice LeRae, Bianca Belair, Shayna Baszler, Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Carmella, Mandy Rose, and Toni Storm.
Yes, a very exciting Money in the Bank card, in my opinion, Mikey. We'll get to how we're going to handle the actual men's and women's Money in the Bank matches. And you listeners at home, longtime listeners, will remember probably how we are going to do this. But let's start off first with the pre-show match, just to get our feet wet in booking. Obviously, you know, we usually don't reveal our cards until the moment we say what was happening. But now I like these pay-per-views because we can dive into like why we're making the decisions we're doing. We're not building up to anything unless we are. we can like show the curtain a little bit. So, Mikey, talk to me. What is happening in this pre-show match of the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, Authentic, Drew Gulak and Shelton Benjamin, defending their titles against Eric and Ivar of the Viking Raiders?
So this match came about when Authentic, basically after Authentic won the titles, and they realized that to get to winning these titles, they basically beaten the entire SmackDown Tag Team roster. And they were looking for more of a challenge. And the Viking Raiders, who were a grab from Raw, ended up making their SmackDown re-debut or debut. I don't remember if they've been on SmackDown before. To challenge Authentic for the tag team championships. They won quote unquote their match on the go home show, which got them this match because Authentic did a little bit of a DQ finish where they beat down the Viking Raiders with chairs and trapped Ivar's arm in the chair and jumped off the top rope and slammed the chair in his arm.
Yeah.
So they're trying to take him out before before the match even gets here, and now we have this tag team championship match.
They knew that they were probably going to lose the battle, so they're hoping to win the war by weakening Ivar and Eric.
Yes, and win the war they do when they retain their SmackDown tag team championships.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Do we get any cheaty tactics, I imagine? I imagine we're working over that arm.
Of course. Of course. Working over that arm. The arm's definitely bandaged up on Ivar's side, you know?
Okay.
They're not. The Viking Raiders definitely aren't going in this one at 100%.
Okay.
A lot of authentic, doing a lot of double team moves, keeping Ivar away from Eric in the corner, and just, like, working his arm, like you said, doing, wrapping it around the ropes when the ref's not looking, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
real,
eventually
real cheaty McGeeties over here.
Real cheaty McGeeties, yeah. And then there's one, and then that it just becomes too much, and eventually Authentic get the upper hand and take it home.
Okay, well, congratulations to Authentic for retaining their titles. Unless I don't want to, well, I probably don't want to congratulate them because they are cheaty McGeeties, as been previously established.
Yes, indeed they are.
Well, how dare you, cheating McGeets. Okay, well then they're very nice, very nice. What's the plan for Authentic moving forward? I mean, what, like you said, they've beaten a lot of people, but where are they going? Do you have an idea?
I think that the Authentic Viking Raiders feud might not be over just yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think the plan is to continue this a little bit and ride it out a little bit more, because I really like this feud a lot. Just like two big burly boys versus, like, the guys who are, like, the technical boys, right? It's, like, it's just a good matchup, and I really like these two feuding. So I think I might keep it for a bit. We'll see what happens, though.
That's fair. Yeah, no. With SummerSlam around the corner, obviously Viking Raiders would prefer to have maybe a better... I don't want to say easier. The word would be something like they want to have a fair contest, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe that's probably a no rules match of some variety. But yeah, I like it. Brain versus Braun right here.
Bring back the old last team standing match.
Ooh, yeah, last team standing.
The SmackDown invented.
Yes, the hit the books a ridge.
The book's original.
Beautiful. Well, I love it, Mikey. Let's get into the next match, which is, of course, the men's Money in the Bank match. That's the real test of wits here. This is your first time listening, we got the men's Money in the Bank match. And how we're going to handle this is that Mikey and I do not know who's going to win this match. We both have our individual picks, but who is going to win? And maybe that's what we should. Maybe that's what we should do, Mikey. Hold on. Inside shit. Yeah, let's pull back the curtain here. Should we fight over which brand wins, or should we fight over our individual overall picks? Like, you can pick out of any one of the eight versus just your four.
I think what. Oh, that's an interesting. So instead of gamifying it, we just try to pick a winner out of these eight.
Yes, we're fighting over. We're gamifying the pick. Who gets the right to decide?
Oh, instead of fighting over brands, because what we did last time was we had the two brands go head to head, right? And then whoever won got to pick who won the briefcase. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. But instead, you're saying just have our picks fight.
Yes.
Got it. Interesting.
Does that make sense? We're doing the same thing as we would before about having
instead,
a grand
but
versus...
instead of it being a 4-on-4, it's a 1-on-1.
No, I think we still do a 4-on-4, but then whoever wins, the winner gets to pick the overall winner of either brand.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
That's what I'm thinking. What do you think?
Gotcha. I like that.
Okay, well, we'll do that. We're going to go 4-on-4. Mikey's obviously going to pick his SmackDown side. I'm going to pick my Raw roster. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins between the two of us, we'll explain the gamifying rules in a bit, but whoever wins between the two of us will get the booking decision. They'll get the pen. They'll get the booking pen and paper. They get to decide who is Mr. Money in the Bank.
Out of any of these eight men.
Out of any of these eight men. So shaking hands, Mikey. I think we're in agreement here. Shake, 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 shake,
shake, shake, shake, shake.
Oh God, I got a milkshake all over me. Okay, cool. So gamifying, we've done it before.
All the boys are in the yard.
Oh shit, the boys are here.
Oh no, the boys, they showed up.
Perfect. Well then, we've done this game before. If you've listened to previous episodes, basically, it's kind of like D&D-ing sort of gaming play. We're gonna roll a d20. We have our four sides here. Who's on what side? What do we got here? Blah, 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 blah. We got the blue side is this side, red side is this side. I gotta figure out who's on which roster. But basically, we got eight. We'll have four versus four. We're gonna roll a d20. Each of us are gonna roll a d20 on and you know, whoever has the higher number will be able to then hit one of the other wrestlers. It's almost like we're trying to simulate the fighting aspect of the match. To attack someone, you roll a d6, and whatever number you get on that d6 is how much damage you're going to do to someone. Each wrestler has 10 hit points. On if you roll a 20 on the d20, then you can heal someone for 3 health points. If you roll a 1, the damage you receive is going to be doubled. So it could be pretty bad. So Mikey, are you, I gotta fucking write these names down, but are you pretty much ready?
I am pretty much ready.
Okay, let me write these names down. We got Mysterio, Corbin, Balor, and Sheamus on the Raw side. Sorry, on the SmackDown side. On the Raw side, we have Ciampa, we have Lee, we have Ricochet, and we have Garza. So, Mikey,
yes.
Let us... It's an honor. God damn it, Space Jam! Get out of here, LeBron! Let's do it! Put that in the background. Okay, let's do this. I got my... Where did my dice go? I lost my dice immediately. Yeah, you can pop on over to the...
Yep, I am here, ready to go.
Okay, let's give everybody 10 points. 10, yes. 10 HPs. Okay, Mikey, let's roll this d20. Ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Ooh, 17.
I rolled a 13.
Ooh, baby. Yeah, coming out strong at the top. What do we got to dice roll? Oh, a 6.
A 6. Ooh, big damage right off the top.
Dominic Mysterio gets hit.
Wow, rude.
Get him out of here.
All right, fine.
Get his ass out of here. Get his ass. Oh, I got my dice. 14.
I rolled a 4. Not looking good for SmackDown to start here.
6 again.
Oh, my God.
Right down the line, King Corbin.
Oh, no. This is not looking good at all.
Not looking good whatsoever for SmackDown. Ooh. Gotta pick up the paces. 10.
14. All right. Get some damage back here for me.
Yeah.
A 5.
Oh, okay.
We're trading haymakers here. Let's hit Keith Lee.
Keith Lee. Catharian Lee.
Yes.
Is that his name?
Catharian Leathan.
Leviathan. here we go. Jesus Christ. A 4.
13.
God dang it, of course.
All right. Listen, I needed to get some damage back. A 2. Not as good, but I'm going to hit Ricochet.
Okay, that brings Ricochet down to 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that number not as sexy as I would like. Oh, speaking of numbers that are not as sexy, I got a 1.
I got a 16.
Okay, well, all right. Whatever you roll is going to be doubled, so...
Ooh, I could take somebody out right here, Ryan.
You could.
I could take somebody out right here. Oh, I rolled a 1.
Okay, so you can't take anybody.
So I can't take somebody out.
But that gets doubled to 2.
For 2 damage.
Yeah, baby.
Garza, take it.
Garza gets down to 8.
That's to be my butt. Take 2 damage, Garza.
Okay, so overall, SmackDown's health is 28. Raw's health is 31.
All right.
Okay, let's do this. 4.
15. All right, SmackDown coming back.
God dang it.
Ooh, that's a 4 damage. I'm going to hit Tommaso Ciampa, the only one still at 10 health.
Everyone on my roster is taking damage. Raw health now finally below SmackDown's. 27 with Raw, 28 with SmackDown.
To be fair, you got in a couple good haymakers right off the top here.
That's fair. Four.
I also rolled a four.
Okay, we gotta roll it again.
Yep.
Two.
Seven.
Great. Perfect.
All right, the comeback begins. Six.
Six.
Ricochet, take six.
Oh my god, you could have taken that chopper right then and there, but instead, ooh, going for a Ricochet. Yeah. Raw health 21, SmackDown 28.
Ooh, Ryan plummeting.
I'm plummeting. 10, please.
Four.
I've rolled a five. So let's Sheamus down to five. Whoops.
Oh no.
Oh my god, there we go. That's the comeback I needed.
Big. All right. It's getting close. This is closer than I'd like to admit.
Yes, three.
13.
God dang it. 10 more.
The dice are not on your side today, Ryan.
No, they're not.
Another six.
God dang it.
Let's take out Tommaso Ciampa.
No.
Dunzo Bunzo. Tommaso Ciampa's out of here.
SmackDown health, overall team health, 23. Raw, 15. Just a couple of rolls. Just a couple of rolls could be it for me. 12.
Eight.
Okay, and I got a four in my D6. So
All right, you can take somebody out of here.
Mysterio, let's get him out of here.
All right.
Here for good.
Down to three people a pop.
Four.
Ooh, I rolled a three.
And I rolled a six.
Oh, no.
Balor, down to four.
Oof, all right. How the turntables.
Mysterio, gone. Corbin, Balor at four. Sheamus at five. That's a total team health of 13. Ciampa, gone. Lee, five. Ricochet, two. Garza, eight. That's a Raw health team health of 15.
Oh, how the turntables.
Oh, and that's a 20.
Oh, I rolled an 18.
That
was good.
I can heal someone for three. I'm gonna heal Keith Lee.
I thought I was good with an 18.
And I rolled a 5. Sheamus.
Right, taking somebody out here.
Sheamus gone.
Oh no, this is not looking good for me anymore.
SmackDown's team health at 8. Raw health at 18.
This is back and forth.
10-point difference. 19.
Net 20, baby.
No!
Let's go!
Who do you like to heal?
Let's see. I'm going to heal. Can I bring somebody back or no?
No.
All right, I'm going to heal Balor for three, then.
Okay, so that brings him up to seven.
And then I'm going to hit... Let's see. And I'm going to hit... I'm going to take out Ricochet, because I have rolled three.
Okay, so Ricochet down to zero.
Balor just, like, sucked Ricochet's health out.
Exactly. He's a vampire. That's his new gimmick. He's a vampire. What is that? That is a nine.
A 15.
Oh, my God. Anybody's game still.
A six!
Oh, I'm glad I healed somebody.
Garza, take six.
Okay, Garza's down to two. SmackDown's team health is 11. Raw's is 10.
This is getting down to the wire.
Ah, two on my D20.
An eight. That's another six. Keith Lee, take six.
Oh, no. Oh, no. This is not going well for me. Oh, wait, sorry. He takes six, so he's down to two as well. Raw health. I have just Lee and Garza with 2 points of health. I need to get a comeback here. That's a nine.
Oh, I rolled an eight.
Okay, I rolled a one on damage, so we'll hit Balor for one. Whoops. Hit Balor for one. Brings him down to a six. Yes. Brings him down to killing range.
All right.
Anybody's game still.
Oh, no. That's not a good one.
11.
Four.
Okay, I rolled a one damage as well.
You're playing the slow game.
So I'll hit Corbin.
Okay.
Corbin Balor.
9-4 here.
Yeah, 9-4.
Oof.
17.
10.
And I rolled a 5 for damage.
Oof, big damage.
Now,
not a fan.
Do I take out Balor? No, I can't take out Balor, but do I take out Corbin or do I take out a giant chunk of change from Balor?
Oh, that's a tough decision.
I'm gonna hit Balor for five. Bring him down to one.
Oh, all right, 4-4.
4-4.
HP tied up.
HP.
We got a close battle here.
Close match.
The dice are speaking to us.
10.
18. That's a five. Take out Keith Lee.
Oh no. We should tell you folks at home that this does not result, like, whoever's left over isn't the winner, because obviously it could be more than one person.
Yeah.
But yes, I just want to make that clear. Garza's not going to win this country.
Hey, listen, Destiny.
Destiny right, calls. Destiny does call for Garza. 16.
12.
That's a 3. I rolled a 3 on damage. Dying. Corbin's gone. Oh!
Down to Garza versus Balor.
Balor with 1 health
two
point.
2 HP to 1 HP.
This roll will decide it. Who gets to...
Unless I get it and roll a 1.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Which would be very funny.
This roll, more than likely, will decide it. Who will be... Who gets to decide who is Mr. Money in the Bank? Money Mikey, the bank. One roll of dime. D20.
Oh, that's not a good one.
18.
7.
And let's roll the dice for fun, then. That's a 2. Does not matter.
Right. Balor is done. Garza Destiny.
Garza's Destiny is... The irony. The irony.
He said it was Destiny. He was correct, clearly.
He said it was Destiny... And he was correct. Garza's the man that helps me win the Mr. Money in the Bank booking decision, Mikey.
Unbelievable.
Oh my god. So now I have to decide then. That is the match. So now I have to decide who is Mr. Money in the Bank, Mikey.
Yes, that is up to you now. You get to decide who wins the men's Money in the Bank ladder match.
Man.
It could be anybody. It could be SmackDown. It could be Raw. It's up to you.
Okay. I'm going to take out the obvious people.
You're going to take out, I know, no Dominic Mysterio, no King Corbin. I know.
No. For God's sakes, no. No Dominic Mysterio,
because
no King
you
Corbin.
Because you have no sense of adventure.
No Garza. No Garza.
Not even with Destiny on his side?
No. I'm going to thank him for it, but not going to give him the redemption there. Ricochet is tempting, so I'll keep him around. Ciampa is tempting.
I mean, to be real with you,
yes.
Since it doesn't matter anyway, Ciampa would have been my pick.
That's interesting. Finn Balor, I really like. Sheamus is interesting, but I don't think Sheamus is going to be it. For me, it's down to Balor, Lee, Ricochet, and Ciampa. For me, my story, I think, makes sense for it to be Lee, Ricochet, or Ciampa. But Balor holding the briefcase is interesting. It's a definite divide away from the Styles tag team.
Mm-hmm.
And an eventual Finn Balor Kevin Owens match. Assuming Kevin Owens retains the titles.
Like, or Finn Balor Roman Reigns.
Or Finn Balor Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins wins tonight.
Or Finn Balor Seth Rollins.
These are all extremely sexy matchups.
Yes.
But do these matchups need to happen with the briefcase? Who do I want to give that pop to? Who needs that pop eventually? Or the heat that comes with the briefcase?
I would have loved, personally, I would have loved Ciampa to win so I can get the Ciampa cashing in on Roman Reigns angle.
Mm-hmm. Whether or not we have that angle, I guess, Mikey. Like, whether I book that angle.
That's what I would have wanted, at least.
That seems
very fun.
I think we're going to go with... I'm going to be in agreement with you, Mikey. I'm going to go with Tommaso Ciampa. Is your Mr. Money in the Bank.
Tommaso Ciampa winning it.
And I'm going to assume One Nation helps him. I'm going to assume Cruz and Tozawa help him. Maybe Keith Lee was close. But Cruz and Tozawa take out Keith Lee, put him through a ladder,
yeah,
maybe?
Tip the ladder over and, like, put him through another one, yeah.
Yeah, that's on the barricade. I think that's the moment. I think Finn Balor was very close. But Tommaso Ciampa. Finn Balor is a very sexy person in general.
I mean, yes.
But Tommaso Ciampa.
Have you seen the apps?
Have you seen those apps?
Washboard.
Washboard, baby. But I like Tommaso Ciampa. I think there's interesting dialogue there. I think without the U.S. title, it gives Ciampa something else that's very interesting. You know, he can maybe also defend that. You know, I like briefcase defenses. Mm-hmm. But I think it's very interesting now that Tommaso Ciampa, I think the plan for Roman and his faction, One Nation, was always to get the briefcase and retain the briefcase. But now that Ciampa has it, and there has been some sort of like kind, you know, very minimum fraying, but not much. Maybe we ramp up that fraying to eventually consider, maybe Ciampa considers going into business for himself. But does that kick him out of One Nation if he does that? Or
also, Ciampa could go after the Universal Championship, and One Nation could have the Universal and WWE Championships.
Ooh, Tommaso Ciampa cashes in on Kevin Owens.
And then One Nation has the WWE and Universal Championships.
Yes.
Basically ruling WWE.
Yes, yes. That is an insane proposition. But we'll find out, I guess, later, because the winner of the Mr. Money in the Bank briefcase is, of course, Tommaso Ciampa.
I love it.
Okay, with that said, let's move into the next match, Mikey.
Yes, let's do that.
Next match is going to be Dave Mastiff, the Intercontinental Champion, taking on Roderick Strong, defending his title one more time against Roddy Strong. Can Roddy Strong finally do it? Will Timothy Thatcher have something to say? Probably not. It's Timothy Thatcher, baby. but Mikey, what's happening here?
So this match, we all know, has been building up for a while. These two have been feuding since the last pay-per-view, or since before the last pay-per-view. Tommaso Ciampa has wanted to get his hand... sorry, I'm still stuck on the last match. Roderick Strong has wanted to get his hands on Dave Mastiff for a while, and Dave Mastiff's Intercontinental Championship. He's been like waiting for Dave Mastiff to challenge him, and then when he finally did, he took it kind of as a personal offense, because because Dave Mastiff was... The way he described it was Dave Mastiff challenging people who he knows he could beat.
Yeah.
And Roderick Strong wasn't quite happy about getting the challenge because it made him think that, oh, you don't see me as a threat. So Roderick Strong took offense to that and attacked Dave Mastiff the night before, I believe, Hell in a Cell. Or the show before Hell in a Cell. They had a little bit of a feud. They had an Intercontinental Championship match. Roderick Strong lost. Then Roderick Strong, throughout the whole last few weeks, has been saying he's not done with Mastiff. He wants Mastiff again. Mastiff graciously accepting because he is a fighting champion. And these two are going at it again for the Intercontinental Championship. Roderick Strong trying to fulfill what he thinks is his own destiny.
That is true. Very intrigued by the outcome here. Very intrigued. Will Mastiff be able to put Strong away for good, or will Strong get that destiny, get that destiny fate card, that trap card? I'm just hyping up your goddamn match, Mikey.
Well, Ryan, not to beat around the bush, but in the end, destiny is fulfilled when Roderick Strong wins the Intercontinental Championship.
There we go. The leader of kind of the Diamond Mind.
Yeah, a name I have not come up with yet.
A name that is not used, not come up with. Roddy Strong. Sheamus, I imagine, is probably not there. He's probably beat up for the ladder match. Timothy Thatcher probably celebrates with Roddy Strong winning.
Yeah, he comes. Timothy Thatcher at no point gets involved in this match. Just like Roderick Strong said last week, he said he was gonna make sure it was a 1-on-1 because Roderick Strong knows he's good enough in the ring to do it on his own. So Timothy Thatcher does not come out until afterwards to celebrate with Roderick Strong.
Very nice, very nice. Because that's the bond that they have together. Is that we can wrestle. You don't get involved in my matches.
Yeah.
Very nice. I'm glad Roddy Strong finally was able to win it. I made a point last time at one point that I was like, Roddy Strong needs to win this, or what the hell is happening with Roddy Strong?
But yeah, he does that. I took those words to heart, clearly.
Yeah, but I like it. I think Mastiff had a solid run there. I think Mastiff had a very solid run as part of the Intercontinental Champion. Now that
now there's a setup for a rubber match at SummerSlam.
Ooh. And you know what makes me...
Because it's 1-on-1 right now. It's 1-to-1 right now.
This is true. You can set up a rubber match, but you know what I'm also seeing down the line?
What?
Is I have no idea what your decision is for the Universal Championship, but I'm looking at it, I'm like, what if Seth Rollins wins the Universal Championship? What if Dave Mastiff challenges for it?
It all comes back around!
Oh, the forever feud.
Mastiff challenging his former mentor for the Universal Championship would be very good.
The tables have turned. Now it's Mastiff challenging for the title.
Yes.
Oh my god, that would be crazy. Okay, well there we go. A solid start. A lot of heels winning up top. Well, let's see if that can change for the next match, Mikey. It is for the SmackDown Women's Champion Piper Niven taking on Sonya Deville in that rematch clause there. Will Sonya Deville get the championship back in her grasp, or Piper Niven hold on?
So this match has been building for a bit. Piper Niven won the title off of Sonya Deville. Sonya Deville wasn't quite happy about it.
Yeah.
She didn't like the circumstances under the way she lost it, even though she lost fair and square, but of course she kept making excuses.
Of course.
So she kept taking out everyone basically in front of her in line so she could keep taking on Piper Niven. Mm-hmm. Basically as much as she wants to try to get her title back. But Piper Niven has beaten her again and retained her title, and basically Sonya's doing a last ditch effort to get her title back one last time.
Yes, this is factual. This is true, and this is factual.
In this one, Piper Niven does retain her title.
Okay.
Beating Sonya Deville. And after the match,
mm-hmm.
I have a little bit of a spot where Sonya Deville meets Piper Niven in the ring face-to-face after the match while she's holding up her title. And then Sonya Deville sticks her hand out. The two shake hands, hug it out. And Sonya Deville congratulates Piper Niven. Boom, Sonya Deville face turn. Fulfilling my randomizer from the go-home show. You're welcome.
Very nice, Mikey. Very, very nice. Putting it all back together.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. No, yeah, I like it. You end it with respect. Respect has been earned from Piper Niven. So Piper Niven gets that last bit of respect from the former champion, Sonya Deville. Piper Niven... Got quite the setup for a solid reign here, I would argue.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm very excited to see what other matches Piper Niven has down the line. Piper Niven already has another challenger coming up, possibly.
This is true.
Shayna Baszler did throw the gauntlet down.
And Toni Storm is also looking for Piper Niven as well.
Toni Storm looking for redemption, looking for revenge against her tag team partner for some reason. Toni Storm is upset that Piper Niven keeps getting the spotlight is what's happening, and she wanted the spotlight for herself, so Toni Storm did turn on Piper Niven after she won her title the first time, breaking apart the tag team, and now Toni Storm's in the Money in the Bank, so we'll see what happens.
On top of that, you have both of those competitors, Shayna Baszler and Toni Storm, in the Women's Money in the Bank, but then also you could have someone else on SmackDown, either Carmella or Bianca Belair, win the briefcase, and now you got a third person to Piper Niven. So you got a laundry list of a rogues gallery, if you will.
Indeed.
Brewing. All right, well, let's go into the next match. It's Chad Gable taking on Dolph Ziggler with Robert Roode. A 20-minute Iron Man match for the United States Championship. Of course, Chad Gable's championship here. A solid match I'm going for here. Obviously, there's going to be wrestling, but Dolph Ziggler is going to cheat. Obviously, the conceit of this, the conceit of this was Dolph Ziggler is like, oh, I can wrestle, I can do this, but him and Roode are going to cheat the entire time.
Of course
time.
They are. That's just who they are, because they're the dirty dogs, baby.
Chad Gable, however, is able to get the first points on the board, but only because Dolph Ziggler hits him in the back with a steel chair.
And
beats him down even more with that steel chair. So he gives up the point to Gable, but he's hoping that he's, like we said earlier, to lose that battle and eventually win the war. Dolph Ziggler gets another move, gets the zigzag on Gable eventually, gets another 2 points, and helps, Roode helps him with having his feet on the ropes and holds it down there. Gable just can't get it. Eventually, the referee kicks Robert Roode out of the arena. Chad Gable is able to turn around, get a pinfall, get a second pinfall. It's all tied up, and the time runs out. We get another couple minutes of sudden death, and Chad Gable is able to retain the championship when it comes down to pure wrestling. Chad Gable wins.
Chad Gable is indeed able.
He was indeed able. So congratulations to Chad Gable on retaining your United States Championship.
All right. I like it. I think that result makes sense. I like it. I like this battle. I like Roode getting kicked out towards the end, and I like it it being a pure wrestling match between Ziggler and Gable, and Gable getting the win there, because that's definitely Gable's strong suit.
Yeah.
And it begs the question, can Dolph Ziggler win without Robert Roode?
Can he win?
Do the dirty dogs need to be together?
Yes. This is true. This is true. And it, well, one, he is not as good as wrestler as Chad Gable. Do they need to be together? Well, I mean, you could argue that he does need Robert Roode, because when Robert Roode got kicked out, Chad Gable won the match.
Mm-hmm.
So you could argue that's what was helping.
Well, that's why the question was raised. Right?
Fair enough. But who knows? Maybe we'll dive into that story on a later note.
I'm excited to see if we do.
What am I, the author? all right. Then that is that. Let's move right along to the next match, Mikey.
Yes, why don't we?
I believe the next match is, of course, the LLC taking on the new heel team of Ali and Alexander, MVP's new associates. Mm-hmm. LLC seemingly exploded, but MVP took that distraction of an explosion. Was able to form his new group, get Ali and Alexander underneath his wing, honestly, you can maybe argue people who he's better able to control. So we got the LLC taking on Ali and Alexander here. And Mikey, I'm going to tell you this much. It is Ali and Alexander that pick up the win over the former champions in LLC.
Wow. Big win for the new heel team. Big win for MVP's newest associates.
Does MVP help them? Probably a little bit to win, but it's more so his guidance, I would argue. He's not cheating to win. He is guiding them to victory, showing that MVP is a solid manager and helping them get the win, and why it's also a great idea to go under MVP's wing. So LLC, MVP-less, lose their first match. Maybe they underestimated Ali and Alexander as well. Who knows? But Ali and Alexander get the victory here.
What I like here is the idea that you could possibly use this win for MVP and Ali and Alexander as like an advertisement, so MVP can get more people under his wing, and then like like this small little LLC, like,
yeah,
part two can grow into something big, you know?
Yeah,
maybe they'll go from an LLC to like the corporation.
Yeah, the MVP family office.
MVP, yeah, the MVP corporation. Yeah, MVP no. Core.
The core? No, we can't do that. We can't do the core. But it's spelled differently. No. We still can't do the core.
MVP, like, unlimited.
Yeah. MVP unlimited. Oh, maybe that's maybe that's what it is. It's UN space.
The Shark Tank.
That's hilarious. UN space LTD period. Because LTD is the abbreviation for limited.
That's pretty good.
Unlimited.
That's pretty good.
That's a solid name, Mike.
Solid name.
I'm going to write that down.
Instead of LLC, they're now Unlimited.
Ooh. Unlimited. That's a great-ass name. I'm going to write that down. Unlimited. It looks weird, but, you know, it's great. I think it's solid. I think it's a solid name. Unlimited. What does the UN stand for? Don't worry about it. Unlimited. Beautiful. Perfect. Well, there we go. Ali and Alexander, the possible prequel of Unlimited. I brain fart there. Win the match over LLC.
Yeah. All right. I like it.
Moving into the next match, Mikey. Huge match.
Universal Championship on the line, yeah. Between Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. This one came about because Kevin Owens beat Sami Zayn for the Universal Championship, but then Seth Rollins spoiled Kevin Owens' celebration by saying, "Hey, Kevin Owens, I beat you 2 weeks ago, and I deserve a shot at your championship because I know I can beat you,
mm-hmm.
and I've pinned the champion before," which led to Sami Zayn not being too happy about that because Seth Rollins wouldn't have been able to win if it wasn't for Sami Zayn's interference.
Mm-hmm.
So Seth Rollins and Sami Zayn had a number one contenders match, and Seth Rollins came out on top to get this match with Kevin Owens. They had a contract signing last week, which they had a little bit of a nice back and forth. And now we are here for this Universal title match. And in this one, Kevin Owens retains the Universal Championship.
Not a huge surprise for me, for Kevin Owens to retain it. because it's like, I think this is like his first big defense, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So not a big surprise here. I think it was a solid first defense. I think this is one of those matches where you're like, you just hope the outcome is probably going to be Owens, but you're expecting more so a better match than I guess story point. This is all match. This is all like we're trying to put on a good match between Owens and Rollins, I feel.
Yes, absolutely. Just trying to put on a nice solid match, have a good first defense for Owens here, and just make sure it's an awesome match to show that Owens is going to be a good champion.
Oh yeah, I can't wait. I like the idea, and I don't know about you, and it's got plenty of history in our universe. I would love to see eventually a Kevin Owens versus Undisputed Era feud for the Universal Championship.
Yes,
that's a feud idea, especially the history that's there. I like the idea of Kevin Owens versus Mastiff. I like the idea of Kevin Owens versus Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, all very good. especially Kevin Owens, Dominic Mysterio.
And I think Owens, guys, I think you have lots of contenders or lots of challenges for Owens. I think Finn Balor's one, Styles is one. More are available.
Maybe the boys in the diamond mine.
Ooh, the boys in the diamond, quote unquote, the gold standard, the diamond mine.
Gold standard, yeah. The gold quarry, I don't know.
Yeah, the quarry. Interesting, the quarry. I think Kevin Owens has lots of challenges ahead of him. So good job, Kevin Owens.
Although I think we came up with this team name like a couple weeks ago. I'm still very partial to Strong Style.
What if Roderick Strong and AJ Styles teamed up together?
I mean, yes, but I was talking about Strong Thatcher and Sheamus being Strong Style. I think that's very cool.
I like that too. It would, and then they feud with AJ Styles.
Yes,
for the right of his last name. Strong Styles.
Strong Styles, yeah. That's a tag team name for that's that would absolutely be if Roderick Strong and AJ Styles got into a tag team name, they would definitely be Strong Styles.
Strong Styles. I love it. Well then beautiful, Mikey. That is that. Now let's move into our main event, which is of course the women's Money in the Bank match.
Yes, so we have another game to play.
More game ahead of us. Same rules are on the line. Rolling a d20 to see who can hit each other. Rolling a d6 to see how much damage we do. There's some special stuff. You roll a d20 or a d1. And of course, the winner gets the pen and paper to decide who is Miss Money in the Bank. Lots Absolutely. Of solid contenders here. You got Candice LeRae, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Mandy Rose, Carmella, Shayna Baszler, and Toni Storm.
Yeah, a pretty awesome Money in the Bank, if you ask me.
Yes, a tough decision, too, because a lot of these people, we talked about this earlier, I think last episode, a lot of these people honestly could win it.
I have my idea of who I want to win if I win this game.
Me as well, so I'm very intrigued to see what happens. But let us get into the game. Why not, Mikey?
Yeah, let's do it. No ad this time.
I just kept playing the music in the background the entire time. Volume off. Okay, well then let's get into it, Mikey. Same sort of rules before. Let's roll that
d20. Yes, let's do it. Get right into it. Not a good start here.
Me neither. A 9.
An 8.
Oh, okay. Very nice. It rolled a 6.
Oh my god. Again coming out with the haymakers.
Carmella gets down to 4.
Jesus.
Big hit. Starting off.
All right, that one's better.
11.
16.
Cool, bang.
All right. That's a 4. Ripley, take 4.
Okay, Ripley down to 6. Going after Rhea Ripley, I see. Uh-huh. Don't appreciate it, Mikey. I don't appreciate it one bit. A 10.
3.
That's a 5 as well. Oof.
Ryan so coming up with the heavy hits here.
Shayna Baszler down to 5.
Wow. All right.
A lot of big hits. Whew. 16.
17.
Ah, dang it.
Got there. 5. All right.
Oh, my
Morgan,
God.
Morgan, take 5.
Oh, my God. Ooh,
this one's going to be quick, apparently.
Liv Morgan joining a jazz group. She's taking 5. Here we go. Next up. I know that song. I play that song. Ooh, Nelly. 20.
7.
20. Well, let's heal Liv Morgan. She's going to heal for 3 points, back up to 8. I rolled a 3 for my damage.
All right, who's taking 3 damage here?
Bianca Belair. She'll go.
All right.
She'll go down to 7.
Don't like this.
Now, SmackDown team health is 26. Raw's team health is 34. 7.
8. Sucker.
A lot of close D20 rolls here.
4. Rose, take 4.
Okay. Rose down to 6.
Spread that damage around a little.
Spread the wealth. 13.
A 4.
Okay, and I got the damage for 2.
All right, not too bad, not too bad.
So Belair will go down from 7 to 5.
Take that. All right.
6-point team difference. 5.
6.
God dang it. Stop beating me with one roll.
That's fine. I rolled a 1 anyway. LeRae, get out of 10.
Okay, so what, LeRae's down to 9?
Yes.
Woohoo! I get nervous. The music helping me. We get nervous. Yeah. Get real nervous. 2.
9.
Oh, okay, I mean, come on. I mean, who would have guessed it?
4. Morgan's taking 4.
Okay, Morgan down to 4. Her and Ripley are in killing range. And Rose as well.
I mean, so was my entire team, so.
Well, Storm still got 10, so you're still good.
Except for Storm, yeah.
Ooh! Dab.
Is that another nat 20 you rolled over there?
Uh-huh.
I rolled a 4.
Nat 20, Morgan's getting healed again. back up to 7. Damage is a 2, so let's put that damage on Tony Storm. Tony Storm down to 8.
Yeah, saw that coming.
SmackDown team health is 22. Raw's team health is 28. 3.
I rolled a 1.
Oh, Mikey.
I rolled a 1.
Mikey, I rolled a 4 on damage.
That's not... You can just take out Tony Storm right here.
And I will take out Tony Storm right here. Tony Storm's... Mikey rolled a 1. That makes that 4 double to 8. Tony Storm has 8. So she's down to 0.
What a bad thing that just happened.
That's a huge loss. 12.
8. Not looking good for SmackDown here.
1 point of damage, so I'll hit Baszler with 1, bring him down to 4. SmackDown.
I need a big comeback here.
15-point health team difference. Raw's at 28, SmackDown's at 13. 6.
18.
Okay, here we go. Maybe a little bit of a comeback here, Mikey.
6. All right, good. Good start. Good start. I'm taking out Ripley.
Taking out Ripley. Ripley's gone. That's a huge hit. Mikey, you needed it. You needed it.
I needed something, yeah.
Close that gap. 15-point gap. Close it. 11.
15.
Oh, another move for Mikey. Can he get it?
4 damage. Let's hit Morgan for 4.
Morgan for 4. Down to 3. Will I be able to heal her thrice?
I need a nice 20 right now. I need to heal somebody.
5.
18. Mm-hmm. Didn't get the 20, but no? Still getting putting damage on the board.
Yeah.
4. LeRae's taking 4.
Ray's taking 4, LeRae down to 5. Everyone in killing damage on both sides. SmackDown's health is 13, Raw is 14. Mikey, you close the gap.
Close the gap a little bit there. A couple of good rolls on my side.
Not a little bit. You closed it essentially the entire way.
Yeah. A couple of good rolls turned it around for me there.
6.
Oh. And the luck ends with a 3.
Okay, I rolled damage for 2, so we'll hit Belair for 2. That brings you down to 3.
All right, Dice, this is, there's any time for a 20, baby. Did you roll another 20?
I rolled a third 20. Let's heal Liv Morgan.
A 16.
Let's heal Liv Morgan. No, I'm not going to heal Liv Morgan. I'm going to heal Candice LeRae from 5 to 8.
I rolled a 16, so hit me.
Let's get Candice LeRae out of the killing fields. And I rolled a 6 on damage.
Oh, someone's going down here.
Carmella's out for the count.
Whoa, don't like this anymore.
10-point health team damage. Raw's at 17. SmackDown's at 7.
It's looking like Ryan's picking all the Money in the Bank winners today.
Looking like it, Mikey. Looking like it. What is it? 9.
13.
Mikey, I rolled damage for 4.
Wait, I rolled a 13. You rolled a 9.
You're right. 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 My mistake.
Listen. I get you're excited to pick the winner, but we're not there yet. I rolled a 2. LeRae's taking 2.
LeRae's taking 2. Down to 6. That's devastating. 16.
That's a 2.
That's a 6 damage. Baszler's down as well. Only one left is Bianca Belair.
Belair, it's up to you.
Valair's with three. I got Lorray, Morgan, and Rose. Lorray and Rose at six. Morgan at three. Ross team health 15 to three of SmackDown. Mikey, could be all it. This music's really swelling for you. Can you make this comeback happen?
I don't know.
What'd you get?
I rolled a nine.
Let's see. 16.
God dang it.
Let's see how much damage. I gotta be three or higher.
It's pretty good odds.
Two!
Ah, Belair hangs on.
Belair hangs on. Mikey, you have to win all of these rolls.
That's a good start.
Oh, Mikey?
What did you roll?
I rolled a 17.
Oh, I rolled a 15. That's game.
Oh, that's game. Rolled a 5 for damage. Belair down for the count as well.
All right.
Mikey.
Ryan gets to pick both Money in the Bank winners today.
Mikey, I'm so sorry, my friend. But
no, that is okay. Listen, the dice were not on my side, and sometimes that happens.
The dice were...
Listen, I got D&D tomorrow, so I'm getting all my bad rolls out now.
That dice roll, Mikey, 100% on my side this round. Three 20s. I rolled three 20s.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I healed. I got back 9 points of health throughout this match.
Yeah, you. That was a game changer for sure.
Yes, that was definitely a game changer. But now I have the honorable task of choosing the winner of the briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
This is the task before me. Mikey, you can hype up whoever you think should win. I can take that into consideration. I'm a gracious person.
So my picks were between Toni Storm and Shayna Baszler here.
Mm.
I know those are both SmackDown people, but those are my picks. Because Toni Storm has the story behind it. And I think Shayna Baszler would just be very good as somebody to have the Money in the Bank, as we know, because she had it last year as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we know she's a very threatening person to have that Money in the Bank briefcase. But I think ultimately I was going to pick Toni Storm because the story was there with her and Piper Niven. So that was going to be my pick.
Okay. I'm definitely dropping Carmella and Mandy Rose out from contention.
Destiny!
So that leaves Lorray, Belair, Baszler, Morgan, Ripley, and Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Storm's got a little bit of a story there, but it's interesting. But I'm going to drop Baszler.
Okay.
I think you're right, but I don't necessarily think that Baszler's story like requires her to have it, whereas like Storm's kind of does.
I agree with that.
Storm doesn't necessarily need it. She can like fight whoever wins it, unless they're on Raw, I guess, but...
Mm-hmm. I think Storm having it is, for me, that would have been my pick, because I think Storm having it would have made the most sense in terms of SmackDown victory, you know?
It's also the closer. Do we send the fans home happy?
Or do we send them home upset?
This is where I'm between. This is what I was thinking coming in, is the idea of Morgan or Ripley having it.
Mm-hmm.
Because... Does their storyline that I've been building, do either of them need the briefcase? Ripley, I'm going to say no. I don't think she needs the briefcase. She can get it. That'll get her back into, you know, into challenging Banks, right? But I think it makes sense for her to get a rematch for the title. I think that makes sense without the briefcase. Something to be said with Liv Morgan having the briefcase. Jude, what are you doing, bud? You opened up Siri, I guess. He wants to talk to a computer. I guess he wants to use the computer now. I've been hogging it all morning. So I'm going to remove Rhea Ripley off the board.
Okay.
Because I think, and if anyone deserves it between the two, I think it's Liv Morgan. I think Liv Morgan is more interesting to have. But I'm going to take her off the board nonetheless.
All right. Interesting.
So that leaves Storm, Belair, Lorray. I like the idea of Lorray having it, Mikey. Just because, as the heel, she can be the heel with the briefcase. We can build up some heat for her. However, Banks is the heel, so it's kind of a weird moment there.
True.
So I'm going to take Lorray off the board.
I mean, and okay, so it's between Belair and Toni Storm.
Yes, it's between Belair and Toni Storm.
So what are the stories here? I feel like Toni Storm wins, she probably goes after Niven.
Yep.
Belair wins, she probably goes after Banks, right?
No, I mean, Belair's on SmackDown.
True. I mean, I can still see Belair going after Banks, but also I can see Belair going after Niven as well.
I think Belair going after Niven is possible, but I also can see, this is my argument, Mikey. This is why this is what I'm thinking here. Storm will go after Niven no matter what at some point, right?
Yeah, that seems pretty set in stone. I feel like there's no world where Storm challenges Sasha Banks.
And I don't think there's any world where Storm will or won't challenge Niven for the title with or without the briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
Belair winning the briefcase can make her a big baby face on your roster, and could be a cool moment eventually. But also, I can't imagine Toni Storm would be happy about that.
No.
Toni Storm is a revenge character.
Yeah, if Toni Storm loses the belt here, she's probably, if not loses the belt, loses the briefcase here, she's probably going to go on some tirade to get it.
So, with that all in mind, Mikey, let's send the fans home happy and make a new star. Let's make Miss Money in the Bank be none other than Bianca Belair.
All right, I like it. So Bianca Belair wins the Money in the Bank. Toni Storm, definitely not happy about that.
Mikey, thoughts? How do you feel about it?
Well, since they're both on the SmackDown roster, I feel kind of good about that. Because now I have a chance to build a story around Storm and Belair fighting over the briefcase. And with Storm's ultimate goal being to get the Piper Niven.
And you got Baszler who can challenge Niven in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. True.
So you got people in the wings.
Yeah, I could have this story between Storm and Belair while Baszler takes on Niven, and then eventually have Niven and Storm fight. Mm-hmm. But the other issue I'm having with this is that I kind of wanted Storm Niven at SummerSlam.
I mean, you could still do Storm Niven at SummerSlam.
I could. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I mean, yeah, the Storm doesn't need the briefcase to be able to do that.
No. No, but it would have helped.
That's fair. She does the John Cena challenge where she challenges in advance.
Yeah.
No, I think you still got it. I think you still got it whatsoever. Yeah, maybe we'll do Storm. Let's do a tag team match where it's Piper Niven and Rhea Ripley against Liv Morgan and Toni Storm.
I don't hate that.
And then Carmella's there too.
Carmella's there with King Corbin.
Okay, yeah. Did they break up already? Like that?
Yeah, no, they did. They did a while ago.
Okay, there we go. I'm a gracious winner. I'm going to let Mikey have that story beat. I'll figure something out on my side. But that is it, Mikey. That's okay. Money in the Bank.
I think it was a good pay-per-view all around.
I think very, very solid pay-per-view, in my opinion. I think that's a obviously, in my opinion, everyone that I think should win, I think won.
Yeah, I agree. All of the correct winners, I think, were here. You're right.
And we got a title change. We got surprise wins. You know, I think that's a solid pay-per-view. I think we hit every beat. But the show's not over yet, Mikey, because we must hit the randomizer. The randomizer, it's a pay-per-view, so it's going to be an exciting part here. But it's a pay-per-view, so every single week we decide. You decide at Twitter, twitter.com/countoutpod. You decide who is the better booker. But we don't do that here on pay-per-views. Instead, on pay-per-views, we just roll it all together. Because obviously we can't do a poll for these pay-per-views in time. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, let's just make it a pay-per-view. People are putting on their best foot forward. Let's make it. Anything can happen. More craziness can happen, Mikey. So mm-hmm. We got this list of 1 to 44 items, Mikey. And we're going to hit it on each other to see who gets hurt the most, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
They could be good things, could be bad things, could be, like, nothing happens things. But let's find out, Mikey. I got my result. You got your result?
I'm loading it right now.
Okay. Okay, very intriguing, especially now hitting the SummerSlam. This could be all the more intriguing. Mm-hmm. Ooh, interesting. Okay.
All right. Why don't you tell me what you got while mine's floating? It's taking a weirdly long time.
I got for you, Mikey, a minor injury.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
Roll a D whatever to see what wrestler gets hurt, then a D4 minus 1 to see how many weeks they're out.
Oh, dang, that's rough.
Yeah, so let's see how many wrestlers on SmackDown wrestlers. We got four guys in the start. We got four guys in the men's and women's. So that is 4, 8, 12. Mm-hmm. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
18.
Oh. I'm going to roll a D18. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see who gets injured for D4 minus 1. Let me get my D4 out, by the way, while I'm thinking here. D4. There we go. Okay, D18. That's going to be number 11.
Number 11? Who is number 11?
10, 11, Piper Niven.
Piper Niven's getting a minor injury? My champion?
Champion? Right before SummerSlam? You might not even be able to have that SummerSlam match here, Mikey.
My champion right before SummerSlam?
D4 minus 1. So they'll make it to SummerSlam. They're just going to be injured a couple weeks beforehand. So D4 minus 1. There, let's see what we got. We got 2 minus 1. They're out for a week. They'll just miss the next episode.
Okay. That's not bad. I can deal with that.
Yes. So Piper Niven misses next SmackDown episode. That's not bad. All that's right. Not bad. So.
No, I can live with that. Okay.
Okay. What do you got, Mikey?
All right. My randomizer has finally decided what it wants to do. And Ryan?
Yes.
I get to steal a superstar.
God dang it. You son of a bitch. Stop stealing wrestlers.
I get to steal a superstar.
You steal Tommaso Ciampa?
Okay, no, but I do have an idea. I'm looking at, lately I've been looking at my women's roster, and I feel like I need more of them.
Okay.
So I'm going to look, right to your women's roster here.
Terrifying. It's just steal a superstar. You just take whoever, no trading. It's just, you get to take someone.
Yep.
Free of charge.
Ryan, I think I know. Looking at this list, great. I think I know exactly who I want.
Great, I'm terrified. I feel like my women's roster is not that great, and I feel like you're going to get weird.
Ryan, I want Io Shirai.
Yeah, I saw that name and I was like, oh shit, he's going to take Io. He's going to take Io or Asuka. Io is the, I would argue, the sexier option there. Well, god dang it.
I need more women's heels, clearly. I need to turn some people, but I think Io Shirai is a good addition to the SmackDown roster here.
Yeah, I think she's a solid challenger. I think, you know, she can also maybe hold over Baszler. Io Shirai versus Charlotte Flair is a very interesting match. Whether or not Io Shirai kept the team up with someone, maybe, to take on for the titles, maybe. I don't know. There's just something about Charlotte Flair, Io Shirai, that I think is a very interesting match there. Maybe it's the Battle of the Moonsault.
The Battle of the Moonsaults.
But yeah, maybe that's what it is. But yeah, I think there's some Io Shirai-ness there. She can have a starter feud against Carmella. That's an easy feud. That's an easy feud to do. Okay, well, I'm not happy about it, but you know, I think you got the better deal out of this situation. Honestly, I'm not happy about it, but you know, at least I was able to injure Piper Niven for one episode. God dang it. All right, then that is it for this week's episode of Hit the Books. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/countoutpod, like I said before. You can subscribe or follow according to Apple Podcasts. They changed their verbiage up. It's now like following people. And make sure you do, because I found out recently, Mikey, and this is very annoying, and I think I see it already sort of affecting our numbers, is that... Apple Podcasts updated recently, and I found out that, like, unless you're following someone, they won't notify you of when a new episode comes out. Before, if you, like, download an episode, then it'll show in your feed, but it wouldn't automatically download an episode, it'll be like, oh, they have a new episode out. So like, if there was a podcast that I like listening to, let's say it's like an interview show or whatever, and I like listening to it, but I don't like listening to every single episode. I want to just listen to like the bits and pieces of people I know, right? I can download one episode and it would tell me when a new episode came out so I can go look at it right away. Now, it doesn't tell you anything. So you can only know by searching for it immediately, which the search function is also bad, or by following. And people obviously don't always remember to search. So I highly recommend, if you enjoy the show, even if you don't enjoy the show, if you're listening to this, just follow us on Apple Podcasts. And of course, you can subscribe everywhere else you get podcasts. Mikey, anything to plug?
Yeah, go check out Independent Waters every Wednesday here on the Countout Network, where me and Zach Batista take you through the independent wrestling scene and bring back matches to review. It's a great show if you like, if you're just getting into independent wrestling, if you've been in it for a while. I think it's a great show for anyone who's into independent wrestling at all, because, you know, you can get recommendations or you can watch us review matches that you may have already seen. So go check it out if you're into independent wrestling. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yes, definitely go check out Independent Waters. We also have a bunch of other shows that are on here on the network. Your Dose of Death, How to Talk to Your Friend About Wrestling, and we got announcements on the way. Announcements, Mikey, in store. They're coming.
Some spicy stuff coming up.
Spicy stuff. We got a bunch of announcements, so stay tuned for that. Follow us again on Twitter, twitter.com/countoutpod, at countoutpod on Twitter. And we'll get, you'll hear all those announcements as they come out. Because now your boy's got some free time, so your boy can work on some things finally.
Ryan's going to crack his knuckles. Now that he's off, he's going to do more work. Because he's a psycho.
I got 5 weeks off, so I'm going to do more work on this on the network, which is needed. And I'm excited to get to it, because I've been... I'm barely had enough time to begin with, and now I got more time to do the things. So we got plenty of announcements coming down the pipeline, folks. You can order t-shirts, subscribe, check out the website, countoutpod.com. Again, thank you everybody for listening to this week's episode of Hit the Books. We'll be back this Friday for an all new episode. So until then, we've got two words for you:
cash in.
We got 40 words for you, Mikey.
Cash in and book it.
That's five. That's five words, Mikey.
Just hit the outro music.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.